Moral Revolution community, welcome back to our podcast. I'm so glad you joined us today. We're going to dive into all things God's design for healthy sexuality. Let's talk about it. Welcome back to the Let's Talk About It podcast. You got Sloan here with the Datewell Community for Women, and we've got Abram here who oversees the Datewell program for men.
If you're interested,
if you're dating and you are a woman
or single
man,
and want to be dating.
Yeah, that also that. Head to letsdatewell.com and you'll get more info there.
Yeah, it's great stuff.
Today, we're just going to dive right into it.
Let's dive in.
If that's okay with you guys. We're going to talk about some
who needs
red.
The shallow end?
I know. Who needs a shallow end? We'll just dive right into 10 feet. Why right. not? So we're going to talk about some red flags, some green flags, and some yellow flags in dating.
Yep.
And so this is a big one. I feel like even as Abram and I were like preparing for this podcast, we both were listening to like a billion different videos online. And there are so many
There's a lot of flags.
Yeah, there's a lot of flags.
There's more flags than the United Nations when it comes to dating.
Yeah, really. And so our hope here is that you leave feeling like equipped to do the dating journey well. You've got some things in your back pocket of understanding like, okay, maybe that's not the greatest thing in the world. Or, oh my goodness, yeah, he or she's got this. And that means let's keep going. Let's figure this out. So that's our hope, is that we just equip you with some really good, ideas while you're dating.
That's great.
Great.
Yeah. And before we jump in, this is our one disclaimer. You take your shoes off, is when it comes to red flags, not all people, just because there's a red flag doesn't mean they're a bad person. I think a lot of times in dating, it makes it easier for us to move through the dating process if we can say that's a bad person or this is what's wrong with them. Mm-hmm. And then we can, especially when we're trying to move on after a breakup.
Yeah, breakup.
But we don't need to necessarily villainize or demonize the person. Some of these red flags are ways that we've learned to cope with life.
Yeah.
So it's not like, hey, you're not a bad person. Or maybe you're dating someone and you see some of these red flags come up and you go, uh-oh. And you're like, well, they're not a bad person. And it's like, no, they may not be a bad person, but this thing in their life is going to be big enough that it's going to cause a lot of pain and stress in your relationship. So that they, or maybe you, are not in a place right now that you're going to succeed and have a healthy, winning relationship.
Yeah.
So it may be just the time. I heard one guy say it this way. It's like, your full-time job right now is to get healthy. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, there, we've all had seasons where we go, man, I'm just not ready to dive into what's next. I really need to kind of slow down. And my job this season is to get healthy and to work through this stuff so that when the relationship comes up, we're ready to win. So if you see the red flag in yourself, the other person in your relationship, you don't have to, it's not a horrible person thing. It's just a, hey, this is something you want to work on probably individually. Yeah, actually individually before you start dating, whether it's again with the other person or you move on and find somebody else.
Yeah. And it's not a punishment thing, right? You're not saying, okay, you're a bad person, like you were saying, Abram.
Yeah.
You're a bad person. You're out of here. You should be punished for everything. It's more just like a, hey, I'm noticing these things. It's probably be better for you to go heal on your own and me heal on my own, just like Abram's saying, just reiterating.
Okay, so
I think with that, though, defining what a red, green, and yellow
flag
would
be. Okay, so what
is
a red flag?
I feel like red flag, I mean, this is obviously going to go, you know, along with like stoplights and stuff. You know what I mean? It's red, green, yellow. So a red flag would be mean like full stop. Like you probably need to end it. You probably should walk away. Some obvious red flags too that we're not going to mention because we definitely, you know,
hopefully they're obvious.
Yeah,
to you.
Hopefully they're obvious to you. And if not, then we have some resources. You can always email us at contact@morerevolution if you need some resources on this topic. But if someone is emotionally or physically or sexually abusive, that is like full stop. Like that, you know, done. Red flag, massive
Take a
red
friend
flag.
And go break up with that person.
So we're not going to necessarily talk in depth about that one today because we're going to try to do more non-obvious ones to be more helpful. But red flags would mean full stop in the relationship. Yeah. It's not going to be healthy moving forward.
Right.
Yeah.
Red flags.
Red flags.
Green flags.
Green flags. Green flags would mean green means go, right?
These are what you're looking for in a spouse. So you're not just looking for the antithesis of something, but you're like going, that's a healthy person.
Yeah.
I admire and respect that. Yeah. Things could go well.
Things could go well. Exactly.
Yeah.
Done. That's what it means. Keep going. And then defining yellow flags would mean proceed with caution.
Yep.
They're not necessarily a red flag. They're not necessarily a green flag. you're just a yellow flag. Yeah. Proceed with caution. This could mean a full stop is coming up. Yep. It could mean, hey, actually, no, they've covered this. They've understand it. They're healing. They're moving forward. But it just means proceed with caution.
Usually when I'm talking to people and I see a yellow flag, I go, oh, that's interesting. Tell me more. Because I'm like, this could go really bad. Or it could be like, oh, okay. Yeah, okay, that would be healthy. Or that's something that just needs maybe to slow down a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
It's pace it. Yeah, just to pace it. Like, let's slow down a little bit and let this thing breathe and see what comes out of it.
Yeah, great.
Okay, so red flags. What's the first red flag? Okay, the first red flag is if they can't say they're sorry. This is a massive self-protection mechanism.
Yeah.
And I say as a self-protection mechanism because you can have compassion on the person to go, oh, they really can't say they're sorry. Mm-hmm. But if they can't say they're sorry, if they can't own their mistake, you do not want to be dating this person.
Yeah.
They are in a place right now that their highest priority is protecting themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be protecting you or the relationship. And so the relationship is going to be self-centered around that person, where they're not going to be able to give the way that they want to give or the way that you want to give or that's healthy in a relationship.
Yeah.
They probably lack humility,
yeah.
Empathy, and those things that allow you to to see the other person to be in there. Because in any relationship, whether it's work, dating, or eventually a marriage, you're going to be wrong and you're going to have some views that you think are 100% right that you find out.
Those weren't right.
Turns out I have some stuff to change. So being able to come back and go, oh, and you're like, oh, if I can say that I'm sorry, if I can be humble enough to go, I was wrong there. Let me clean up that mess. Yeah. That's someone you can build a life with. But if they don't have that ability, I would run because I'd be like, that's, you're not going to be able to have a co-relationship. It's always going to be a single person relationship.
Yeah. And essentially it breaks down trust. Mm. If someone isn't willing to show up for you and apologize and walk through a conflict with you, then really you don't have much of a foundation to stand on. So that's why we wanted to definitely label that one as a red flag, full stop, probably not going to get healthier from here on out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So number two would be, and you probably have heard whispers of this one if you've looked up other red flags in dating. We just thought this one was pretty important because it speaks to many different things in a relationship. But it's that they speak negatively of their acts.
They just really don't like their hatchet. It's just so dull.
Sometimes you just can't talk. You know what I mean? They speak negatively of their ex or their like past employers or even their family members, things like that. They just speak negatively of a past situation. So they see, maybe they see their past breakups, like all of their past breakups as their ex's fault. They don't own up to any part of the conflicts or the breakdown of the relationship that happened. And they just speak ill of them. And I think that speaks to a deeper level or deeper root of bitterness that might be going on inside of them. And that alone clouds so much judgment. So it might feel really special in the moment for your partner to just dump on you of like, yeah, you're better than all of my past ex-girlfriends. They all sucked and they were the worst. They were crazy, da-da-da-da. And you're like, you know what? I am pretty great. Thank you for saying that.
I worked really hard on being great. So,
but one day, if the relationship with you and that person doesn't work out, you will be the flip end of that. So it really speaks down to a deeper root of bitterness that they haven't learned how to heal from and move past. Yeah. And so they're trapping themselves in their own cage of unforgiveness.
And ultimately, they're going to view you through that lens.
Yeah.
So even if you're so much better than them, like if they have
comparison, have hurts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If they have comparison and then they have hurts from past women or past relationships that they haven't got healing from, then they're still going to view you from that. So they'll have all those triggers to you. So you could say something innocently, it triggers them to view them like somebody else. And then it just goes really horribly. So if they're constantly speaking negative about the other person, it's like, maybe time to you go heal that. And work on some of that and forgive before you engage in a relationship.
Yeah. So that doesn't mean that red flag will be a red flag forever. But if they can work and heal on it, it could change and they could grow. You just don't have to be the person that does that for them. If you're putting in more work for them to heal on something, then that is definitely a red flag. But next one.
Okay, number three, they are a lone ranger. Mm-hmm. What I say by this is that they are by themselves, they do it by themselves, and they love, and they're kind of proud of the fact that it's just them out there. You know, we, depending upon when you're watching this, the world is in a very, the world's always in a unique time, but especially
a very isolated time.
Yeah,
right now.
Very isolated times. Like, it's not always easy to have community, mm-hmm. but it's a difference between I don't have it and I'm looking for it, and it's just me by myself. Because what this says is, usually says that they don't trust people, mm-hmm. That they think that they are the highest view on themselves of or of the situation, that they're not welcoming in input. Which is just a bit scary because we all have blind spots and we all have filters and views that we've learned from childhood or from past relationships that we just need someone else to kind of come in and go, you're being a bit of a turd right there. Or I don't think that that's actually what they meant. Or like, let me help give you some counsel and some wisdom in here to navigate the situation that you've never been in before.
Yeah.
Because we're all in theirs.
Yeah. I would also say with that, if you're their only community, that's also, that's a pretty big red flag right there. If you're their only community and they intentionally have it that way because they don't necessarily trust anyone and they don't want to, they have no lack or they have no drive within themselves to build community. Because like Abram said, there's a difference between having no community, but it's just because you moved to a new city or it's, you know, a height of COVID times and you're like isolated at home, you know, quarantining. There's a difference between that and having a drive to want community and trying to get it than the latter end, which would be they have no community because they don't want it. They don't want input. They don't want feedback. They don't trust other people's voice in their life and you're their only community. That gets really scary because that means if a conflict arises, that means if something goes wrong, that means if needs aren't being met, they're not going to be trusting your voice in it, or and they're not going to have anyone else to show them their blind spots. And it's just going to, the relationship is going to be what it's going to be. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And if it's just the two of you, you're already in relationships and just the two of you, you're basically primed for codependency.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to meet each other's needs in total.
Yeah. And that's a lot of pressure on you to have to meet someone's, all of someone's needs, right? We all have specific needs that need to be met within relationships, and those are healthy things. But when you're meeting all of the needs of the person that you're dating, that gets really tiring on you. And you probably aren't going to get that really reciprocated because if they don't really know how to probably meet other people's needs if they aren't in the midst of a community.
Right. If you're in community, you already practice healthy relationships, healthy conflict resolution, healthy getting your needs met. Like, you know how to be a friend before mm-hmm. you're trying to be more than a friend. You know how to be a basic friend. And if you're not in community, I that's when I go, oh, that's interesting. Tell me, how do you view friendships? How do you view relationships that aren't romantic? And how do you show up and treat those types of people?
Yeah. I'd even say just a little tag that kind of goes along with this one is if they're a Lone Ranger, yes. But also if they have very questionable friends. So if they're in a group of people and they're very questionable, their values do not line up with the values that you think your partner is saying that he or she has. But their friendships surrounding them are not healthy, they, you know, are pretty destructive, that's telling of your partner as well. And that's not to be a dig, but I'm like, the people that you surround yourself with in your life are going to speak to the person that you are. And that's a great thing. And a lot of times when you're in really healthy environments and healthy communities, because you're being supported, you're being poured into, you have great people that are speaking identity in you. But if you have it on the other opposite end, where these unhealthy and destructive relationships are the only things that are speaking into your life, those blind spots that person might have might be, you know, not blind spots to the people who might be speaking into their life. So just taking account for the friendships that are in his life, I think that, or her life, I think that's also very important and could potentially be a red flag.
Yep.
I think this kind of...
It kind of segues.
Yeah. We'll see if it segues. If it doesn't, then whatever.
Number four.
They make you feel crazy. So I think this is a pretty blanket statement, but I think it covers a lot. You're constantly finding situations where you're being, you know, gaslighted. So like, you feel like you are communicating one thing and then they throw it back to you in a completely different way and somehow put the conflict or the pain point on you when you're just trying to communicate something that was hurting you. You're constantly questioning your own reality in the relationship. Maybe even your self-esteem and self-worth has just gone in the crapper, and you feel, you feel very negatively about yourself being in relationship with this person, or they're constantly just creating drama with your friends or their family or your family. And it just seems like there's always a fire that needs to be put out. That's something that's definitely a red flag.
I call them drama dealers. Drama, if you're a drama dealer, like you just love to be thriving in it. I'm like, that's not me in my life.
Yeah.
I would say it also, if you drive each other crazy because you're constantly just butting heads over everything, then it probably means you have such different views and core values on life that you're not going to be able to build a long-term relationship and marriage and family that's going to be harmonious. Yeah. It doesn't mean you have to agree on everything. That's another issue. But if you're constantly just like, we can't seem to agree on anything, that may be something to step back and go, do we want the same things out of life? Are we still in the same spot? So that's another way you can drive each other crazy.
Totally. Because that also means like, if you guys are just constantly butting heads, that doesn't necessarily mean you're bad or they're bad. It could just mean the relationship and the connection that's being made is no longer edifying or helpful or supportive to either of you. And it would be better to be separate at that point.
Yep.
Okay.
Number five, they have a complete disregard for your needs and boundaries.
Yeah.
Again, this is just a very self-centered view of the world. Mm-hmm. And selfish. This is something that it's concerning, especially if it happens early on. You're like, hey, this is something that's important to me. Yeah. Whether it's going to show how they treat something that you find valuable. It's going to show how they treat your heart. So if you're like, I actually have a strong value for this thing, and they blow past it, you're going, oh, you actually don't know how to value my heart. You don't know how to do that. If they are pushing physical boundaries, it also shows that they are more focused on the pleasure of the moment than they are on the building sustainability safety. And the safety and the trust that is foundational for every long, like it's not foundational. It's the atoms of every relationship that's built. It's every piece of it. It's the foundation. It's the walls. It's the inside. Yeah. Trust has to be there. And whenever you blow past someone's boundaries or their needs, and they don't care for them, if they're not doing it early, they're not going to do it later. In fact, they'll be more and more selfish.
Yeah, that's so true. And I think like little things to just, cause maybe you're just starting to date someone and maybe, you know, things aren't like blatantly obvious that they don't care about your needs or your boundaries just yet. I would say little things that can start putting in whispers of like, hey, maybe this person doesn't fully care, is like they're always late. They're like disregarding the times that you guys have set to go on a date or something like that. Maybe they're trying to push you to talk about something that you're not ready to talk about just yet, or you're not comfortable with talking about just yet. Or maybe you've communicated, like Abram said, maybe you communicated what some of your physical boundaries are, and you find that when in the moment, those things do not matter to the other person. That goes the same with emotional boundaries. If you're trying to talk about something and they're trying to keep pushing you to share about something you're just not ready to share about, those are things that can seem little in a moment. Me communicating it is like, well, duh, those things aren't healthy. But in the form of a relationship, especially in the beginning stages when everything's like goo goo gaga and like la la land and beautiful, those things are something you need to keep an eye out for. Because those things will speak to a greater truth later on in the relationship.
Yeah. And one thing, if they are pushing past, I would just say, hey, I give them a chance, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying you push past boundaries once or they show up late. I have a friend who's constantly late and he is a great guy and he cares, but he cannot be on time to save his life. And I would say that openly to his, well, he would say that openly to anybody's face. But I would say, you know, bring those things up and kind of go, hey, this doesn't feel great when this happened, or this, like
conversations.
It broke some trust with me. And then let them see how they respond. If they, you know, gaslight you and flip it around on you, if they ignore, if they are continually pushing, it's going, okay, something's probably off or broken side that's causing repetitive behavior that needs healed before a relationship will happen.
Yeah, great.
Okay.
Those are red flags.
Yeah. Now the fun ones are green flags.
Green flags. Number one, they have healthy conflict skills, or they resolve conflict well. This could even just tie into like communication skills, but we didn't want to lead with communication skills. So because a lot of us want to be like, yeah, I'm great at communication, but you may not actually be good at communication.
I'm the best communicator of anybody I know. Which could be true.
Yeah, if you're a Lone Ranger.
But
no.
Not, yeah, but also not be great.
Okay, so healthy conflict skills. They have a drive to resolve conflict, and they don't avoid it. They don't shove it under the rug. They don't maybe amplify it in the moment and really base it off of, you know, high anxiety or high stakes. Their communication skills are strong, and they're willing to share their feelings and emotions. That's a big one, especially in conflict. If you feel like there is safety there to talk about things that matter to you, yeah, or how you were hurt, or there might have been a pain point, and they're willing to level with you, that's huge. They also, I think this is another,
and they're able to receive it when you share.
Yeah,
like, so you're able to share emotionally with them, and they're able to receive that back to you and go, oh, okay, yeah. I mean, even if you're wrong, I've been wrong many times in my marriage from a past hurt, a past wound, or just a false view of what I thought was true. But I'm able to communicate that with my wife, and my wife's able to go, be able to sit and walk through that process with me and kind of go, hey, yeah, you were wrong, but I'm not going to hold it over your head. Like, I'm not going to blame you for it, because I actually care about you to help you get to where you need to be. Like, I want to help grow you and help you be whole, not prove I'm right or prove you're wrong. So that's a huge thing for relationship skills.
And Michelle's just the best.
She is. I like her a lot.
Michelle's his wife, and we love her a lot. I would say one last little thing on healthy conflict is, I think this is even like another step up on a green flag. This is like a double green flag.
Yeah.
If within that, they help create a plan to mend the conflict and resolve it completely, and they walk away following up with it.
Yeah.
I think that's huge. I don't think that means, I mean, I don't think it's a red flag if they don't do that, because maybe that's just growing. You're growing in the relationship. You're discovering what you need. But I think that shows high levels of integrity if someone has the drive and the ability to follow up. Like, hey, I know we just talked about this yesterday. How are you feeling today? I just want to check and make sure that we're good.
Yep.
I want to check and make sure that your heart is taken care of.
Yeah.
I think that's huge.
Yeah, and even if you're like, I don't do that, and you're like, yeah, me neither all the time. So I'm like, this is something I'm like, oh, that's a good reminder. Like, I want to do that. I'm like, I want to make sure we're doing that. So green things you want to move further and further towards. This is kind of leads into number two, which is they're able to both challenge and comfort you. So what this means is that they are not just completely, if you're having a rough time, they are able to sit and validate you and comfort you and to be able to meet you where you are. Guys will honestly probably try to fix it, and your girls are like, just, I don't want fixed. And you're like, that's their way of trying to help. Here's a cheat sheet for guys that I tell guys and try to tell women to help guys out, is saying, hey, by you listening, it helps. Like, for you to fix it, because you can, if you say, don't fix it, guys are like, I don't know how to not fix it. But you go, hey, you listening is helping me kind of let off some steam, and that actually fixes it for me. And the guys are like, okay, I can listen. Yeah, like, it's great. But if they're able to listen and to validate and to sit in with you and walk you through that process with you and kind of like, oh, yeah, it's fine. We're going to get through this. If they're able to do that side, but they're also able to, when the time comes, go, yeah, I'm not sure you're seeing that clearly. Or could I challenge you on something here? And they're able to challenge you to be better and different. Yeah. You want both of these sides, because you don't want a challenger who's constantly pushing you and telling you what to do, because that feels more like a taskmaster or a boss or something, and that's just not a great relationship. But you also don't want somebody who just empathizes with you all the time, because then they're just going to
they're not actually pushing you to be the best version of yourself.
There's that word I can't think of right now. Enabling. They could be eventually enabling you into a unhealthy behavior. So you want somebody who's able to meet you on both sides, and this is just a healthy view, so that you can walk together, because you want to be better, whole, healthier people, versions of yourself.
Yeah, that's great. I love that. Whatever it takes to build the better version of yourselves. And if a relationship can speak to that, like, you leave a relationship, or not just leave a relationship, but you are part of a relationship that helps build a healthier view of who you are and the other person, that's health. That's great. That's great. So number three, follow through, or owning it even. So this is a huge green flag in dating. If someone has high levels of follow through, like they say they're going to do something and they follow through with it.
Yeah,
that's great. Or if there is a conflict, like we were talking about earlier, if there's something wrong, or they did something wrong, or, you know, they aren't perfect and they admitted a mistake and they own it, That's a huge green flag.
Yeah.
Like, that is great. We want someone who's recognizing, hey, I made a mistake here, but here is my plan on fixing that.
Yep.
Or here, I made a mistake and I'm really sorry. How can I meet you where you're at right now? How can I rebuild trust with you? That's amazing. That just shows that they have high levels of integrity. And yeah. You want that in a relationship. That's definitely a green flag.
You want somebody you can depend on and lean
dependable
on.
Dependable and yeah. reliable. You know, that you're going to trust their word when they say it. There's safety there. Yeah,
that's great.
Follow through.
Number four, they value individuality and togetherness. I have all the ands because they're like teeter totters that you want to find the balance of. Individualness, like I have my own life that I'm bringing to the table, and I respect that you have your own life that you're bringing to the table. Hopefully you're both doing that. So I'm not trying to get you to be like me or to mm-hmm. be absorbed into my life, and I'm not absorbing into yours totally.
Yeah.
We're both individual people, but as we date longer and longer and as we move towards marriage and towards a long-term relationship, that we value our togetherness yeah. so that I don't have to always be in my way. We can figure out like, oh, here's our normal. Like I have my life, you have your life. And as we come together, we have our life that we're creating together.
Yeah.
So if they value both of those things, then they will, you'll set up to not be codependent, but also not be super independent.
Yeah. I think that's great too. I think that's one that a lot of people don't talk about because it's just like, I don't know, either it's maybe just assumed or I don't know, people just don't even recognize it as like a massive green flag. But if someone is able to recognize your individuality and support it and love it and, you know, like we said before, challenge and comfort you, but also invite you in to their own life and you guys build your own story together too, while also not sacrificing the things that make you. I think that's beautiful. I think that's what healthy relationships should have, you know, as a foundational thing is like, I can be me and you can be you and we come together and we build a great thing.
Yeah.
That's great. So that is values, individuality, and togetherness. Number five is intentionality.
Yep.
So this, I think this is I wrote it out as just intentionality because I kind of wanted it to be a blanket statement, because I think it covers so many different things.
Yeah.
But if you see the drive inside of your partner or someone that you're seeing to be intentional with you, maybe it's intentional in having conversations. Maybe it's intentional to have the define the relationship conversation, or maybe it's intentional with thoughtfulness. They, you know, they plan dates, they bring, you know, flowers, or they, you know, you say you like something and then a few days later they got it for you, or they send you podcasts that they know that, you know, remind them of you, or little things like that where it feels like they're being intentional. They're showing up to the relationship as a giver, not just a taker. And they have a desire I would even say they have a desire to intentionally connect with your life and your story, like with your friends or your family. There's just that internal drive of intentionality towards you and towards building something together. I think that's definitely a green flag.
Yeah, I agree.
Great.
That's what I was going to say. It's just they show up as a giver. Intentional. You don't have to have everything planned out. We're not talking planners. We're talking someone who is aware of someone other than themselves and can see and value the things in your life.
Yeah. And then, it matters to them.
Yeah. And make movements towards accentuating those things.
Yeah. So those were our top five green flags and our top five red flags that you may have already heard or may not have already heard.
Yeah.
But now we're going to talk about five different yellow flags. And those are the flags that are like, okay, proceed with caution. They're not necessarily green. They're not necessarily red, run for the hills, but they're definitely keep an eye on that.
Right.
Yeah.
So these we'll go through a little bit quicker, but they're very important just to go, okay, let's talk about those things.
Yeah.
Number one, they only talk about Jesus.
What? That should be a good thing, right?
Right.
Ish.
Yes, you want them to be passionately in love with Jesus. That is the goal.
That is the goal.
That they are passionate about him, his kingdom, what he's doing on the earth. All those things are great things. The reason it's potentially a red flag, or the reason it is a yellow flag is the fact that some people hide behind spirituality to cover up insecurity. They don't have a life. They don't have community. They don't have family. Their world is very, it's just guarded and it's protective because it comes out of insecurity. Yeah. So I think that's something that's like someone's all they talk about is Jesus. Lovely. And I think a lot of times you can kind of feel the authenticity and they're just like the wonder when they love Jesus, and it's great. And I love that.
Yeah.
But I would also just go, okay, can you guys connect on stuff outside of the spiritual world? You know, can you connect outside of Bible things? Because if you're building a life together, you're not going to be doing Bible studies 24/7 for the rest of your life. You want, you want to have movie nights, or you want to be able to have just chill afternoons, or when you go for coffee, what are you talking about besides Jesus? Like, do you have other things that you're able to connect with, or are you hiding behind spirituality as your safety blanket?
Yeah. I think that how you worded that is really good, like hiding behind spirituality, covering maybe even levels of insecurity. Because, I mean, like you said, it's, Jesus is an integral part of who we are. And the beauty of that, though, is like, I even think of the verses where it says, in him we have our being, we have our life, like everything we do flows through Jesus and Holy Spirit. I think that's beautiful, because that also gives freedom to say, God, the things that you've given me a desire for in my life that aren't inherently related to just ministry are from you too. Like, I have a desire, like I want to go have fun, like adventure is exciting to me, like these books and learning about these things is exciting to me, and everything that we kind of build in our lives with Jesus, like he flows through. And so there's beauty in behind building a relationship with someone else who can meet you on the level of spirituality with the Lord, but also can meet you on the friendship level and understand that everything flows through Jesus. We don't have to just talk about Bible verses 24/7. Because I think of dates that I've even been on where I've done this too, where I went on the date and I was so nervous because the guy was so cute, and maybe he was like a worship leader or like a pastor or whatever. And I was like, oh my gosh, I need to impress him. I need to impress him. I need him to know that I love God and I am like on fire for the Lord and all the mission trips I've been on. And I don't want to do anything outside of just listening to worship music and writing in my journal about, you know, my life or whatever those things are. And it came from a place of anxiety of like, I need to prove that I am valuable to this person. And I think that is where we need to just, we need to watch that, because that just shows that we don't have full security within ourselves. Because when we're secure with the Lord, we don't have this feeling of having to impress somebody by our relationship with him. We're secure in the relationship with the Lord. We don't need to impress others with it. So there's that.
Yep.
Number two, take me as I am. This is kind of like the question I just kind of have to follow up with that one is, do they have a desire to change and grow and mature? Or is it the take me as I am, take it or leave it? It's not necessarily a green flag. It's not necessarily a red flag, because there is a level of like the take me as I am is like they feel the freedom to be themselves with you.
Yeah, it's a positive thing.
That's a positive thing. But it can get kind of sticky if like y'all are growing as a couple and they have a refusal to change or grow.
Yeah. It is beautiful to go, hey, I know who I am and I'm not trying to be somebody else. Mm-hmm. Awesome. That's what you want when you start any relationship. But the like, well, it's just the way I am. I'm like, well, that's not a person. That's not a preference. That's a personality flaw that you're going to rub shoulders with and that needs some humility in, honestly. Yeah. It needs to go, okay, I'm actually not great and I'm not fine. I'm okay that I'm not perfect, but I'm growing. Like, if you can kind of come to that to go, hey, here's where I am currently in life and here's where I'm going, like, great. Like, if you're settled in yourself to go, here's where I am and here's where I'm growing to, awesome.
Yeah.
If you're set in your ways, then
it makes it hard to meet with another person.
Yeah. They're probably not going to apologize for stuff and they go, well, I told you this is just the way I am. And you're like, well, you're being a tool. So,
yeah. So that can be a yellow flag, because sometimes it just might take a conversation to say, hey, I'm noticing this. Can you meet me here? Can we grow together? And that could fix it like that.
Yeah.
Or it might take time to recognize, oh, this person just really will not grow. Okay. Next.
Number three.
Yeah, it's number three.
Being vulnerable early. Mm-hmm. This is a yellow flag. Why is it a yellow flag? Because it could go one of two ways, right? So the first way, that's the positive one, because that's the way I like to start.
Yeah.
The positive one is like, oh, they actually know themselves. They know how to be vulnerable. They know how to be in touch with their emotions, and they're able to show up and to go, hey, here's where we are here. Like, I'm not afraid to let someone in. Mm-hmm. The downside of that is if someone is dumping on you, right? They're showing up and they're just verbally vomiting and emotionally vomiting. And they're like, here's everything I am. And here's what I've went through and stuff. I'm like, that tells me you don't have any emotional boundaries. It tells me you don't know how to build intimacy at a pace. And it potentially tells me that you don't have friends who are able to help you process through these, through the life stages.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, like that's a thing that I'm like, okay, like tell me more. Let's proceed with caution. Let's see. If it's, you know, sometimes you're on a date and you just hit a groove and then you share a bunch and you're like, oh, I actually didn't mean to share all that. I'm like, fine. But if it's constantly like, here's everything that's going on in my life, I'm like, okay, that you may need to build friendships and a community before you're ready and to have some emotional boundaries.
Yeah. We actually have a good podcast I'd recommend too. If you're listening to this, you're like, oh, crap, I do that. We have a podcast with Jason Valentin called The Intimacy Ladder.
Yeah.
We also talk about it very heavily in Datewell too. So it's like something that we definitely go after. But I would encourage you to listen to that podcast to help you. Basically, it's teaching you how to pace relationships in a healthy way. Because maybe you haven't had, or maybe they haven't had healthy emotional boundaries modeled to them. So they just didn't know. They just think they just think communicating everything is a safe way of communicating to you that they trust you and here's everything. But like Abram said, sometimes that can get really messy when you're like the only one being dumped on. If you're the only one getting all the emotional dumping, maybe they need a counselor
on the side.
Or
if you're both dumping on each other.
This language of like emotional dumping. Yeah,
you know. I'm not going to try to clean that up. You know, because if you know, you really know.
Yeah. And so maybe that's just as simple as having a conversation of like, hey, I think maybe we should pause here and then, you know, talk about this a little bit later. Or maybe even inviting in a counselor separately to have another space to share safely so you have safety to talk through things on the side, or even just having a small group that's separate. Those things will help build safety within that. So that's why it's not a green flag or red flag, because it's just very middle ground.
Yeah. And I don't know. We have another blog that I wrote called 4 Ways to Not Go on a First Date. And at the bottom of it, one of the things is just like, you share way too much. So at the bottom, I put 25 questions for like a first and second date. Like these are intimacy wise, these are safe questions that will help you build the first couple instead of diving in and going, tell me your story. Tell me everything that happened.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Number 4. Okay. So they, this is a yellow flag because, you know, like we said, we don't really know if it's a green or a red. It's depending on the situation, but they can't put down their phone. They're attached at the hip with it. It is like their second little love life. But maybe it's, oh my gosh, maybe it's their job, or maybe it's just a lifestyle choice or preference, but they always have their phone on them, and it's a struggle to get them separate from their phone. This can speak to a red flag in the sense that you don't have their full attention, that they're constantly looking for something else to impress them, and that can get really exhausting.
Yeah.
But it could also be, you know, it could also come down to just having a conversation.
Yeah.
If they're constantly always on their phone and you've never said anything like, hey, actually, I would appreciate if we just had some one-on-one time. Can we put our phones up? If you've never given them the option to show up for you there, be like, oh, yeah, let's put our phones away. Then, and you're just sitting there like, he's just scrolling on his phone. He's not even looking at me. Then, I mean, girl, you should probably let him know that you want a little intentionality there. And that could just be a conversation.
Yeah.
But it can be a red flag, though, if they refuse to put it down.
I think it's good what you just said. Like, if they're always, I forget how you said it, but always drawn to what's next or something else to impress them. I'm like, oh, so are you able to be content with me as I am? Or do I need to constantly end up performing and coming up with something new for you? Or are you constantly on there looking for affirmation from other people and how many people liked it, how many people commented? Or are you even scrolling? And I've heard guys of like, you know, following, do they follow workout accounts, not for the tips, but for the spandex?
Yeah.
You know, like just, here's some things I'm like, okay, let's see what your relationship with your phone is like. And I think we all have probably grown up with phones in such a way that it's much more part of us, but going, okay, what's some of the deeper things that are causing here? And let's see
what
those would manifest in our life later on.
Yeah, keep an eye on it for sure.
Okay, number 5 is what's their relationship with their family like? Mm-hmm. You're like, well, like, everybody's triggered. Everybody's triggered. Yeah, but no, there's many different things here. I say, what's their relationship with their family like? Because it's just, it's a great thing to open up They could have a great relationship with their family. And you're like, great, I want to build a family. So I love this. And this is a good thing. They can have a not great relationship with their family. And then that just opens up more questions of going, okay, so tell me about your family. Because sometimes it's, I have a really horrible family and I can't connect with them. Not me personally, but like, so the person's like, I actually have a really bad family and they're very abusive and they don't know how to communicate. And I've reached out and I've tried to do stuff. But it's healthy for me to have a little connection with a lot of boundaries with them because mm-hmm. of... Because of their unhealthiness things, yeah. or in their process. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, okay. Or it's like, I actually just don't value them or don't see them. Or like, if their family isn't the best, do they have others that they're bringing in as family? You know, do they have mentors? Do they have family? Do they have people that they're doing long-term relationships with?
Yeah.
Not just my roommates that are my BFFs, but it just shows their view of family will come out with their own. And honestly, sometimes we've been, for lack of better terms, we've been dealt a great hand and sometimes we've been dealt a horrible hand.
Yeah.
So I'm not, and I even say this because some people dismiss, I've talked to guys that are like, well, she doesn't have a good relationship with her family. She has a good family. I'm like, that's not her fault.
Yeah.
Like, that's what she was born into. Mm-hmm. What's she done with it since then? How has she cultivated her grown family?
Yeah.
So those are some stuff just to think about when it comes up to go, okay, here's something that we want to dialogue with and see what's your filter on this. What's your view of relationships and how do we, how have you grown with it? Because even if you have a great relationship with your family, even if you have a great family, there's still stuff that they've figured out in the process that they've had to work on. So it's just, what's your view of family and how is your relationship with that and what have you done with it?
Yeah. I even think with that too, it kind of circles back to what we were saying in the beginning, but the way that they communicate about the people that are closest to them, like their family, speaks volumes, you know. Yeah. If they have tried to build relationship with their family and it's just not a safe place and it is way safer to have boundaries set into place or to have distance, that's totally understandable.
Yeah.
How are they choosing to communicate about them? How are they choosing to, you know, if they, like Abram was saying, if they are constantly speaking so ill of their mom or speaking so ill of their dad, the reality is, like, down the road, they could be doing the same thing about you. It's just recognizing how is someone choosing to package their words about people who are in their lives and presenting it to you, because it will show later on how they could potentially be speaking about you.
And how they'll view you.
And how they'll view you.
If a girl's constantly has issues with her dad, and you're the boyfriend, you're going to get some of those. At some point, all those views are going to shift to you, whether intentionally or unintentionally. So,
And same with the guys.
And then vice versa. It's like if the guys are talking ill of their mom or they have these negative views or unresolved hurts from their parents, mm-hmm. It's eventually going to shift to you at some point in a relationship, whether single, dating, married, when you become parents, like it's going to come up.
Yeah.
So just going, okay, how are we working through that?
Yeah. And that's why it's not like a red flag or a green flag, because it really just depends. Like how you just keeping an eye on it and recognizing it. I would even recommend for those of you who are like, what with this point, to check out our podcast on attachment styles, because attachment styles really speaks to how we were, how we experienced and were shown loved as children in like our home life growing up. And that speaks to how we kind of receive and understand love as adults in dating relationships.
Yep.
So we did a podcast with Dr. Margaret Nagib, who's an incredible psychologist and counselor. Smart. I would recommend that you check that podcast out just to get a little bit more grid of like, why does that family dynamic matter when it comes to dating? Yeah. So those are our yellow flags. Proceed with caution.
This is a lot of information.
Yeah.
We realize we do have a bonus one though for you.
Bonus.
For all the Christians out there, this is the red flag.
This is the shining red flag.
Yeah. This is the red flag that makes you cringe a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But we've either all said or had said to us probably at some point.
Yes.
Do you want to say it?
God said, you're the one.
The one. Yeah, it's a red flag, honestly. It's not like a, here's why. I mean, does God speak to people? Absolutely.
Yes.
Does God sometimes reveal who the spouse is going to be ahead of time? Sometimes. should you ever say that to the person? I would not say not before married, maybe engaged. But the reason for that is you're going to accidentally or intentionally spiritually manipulate the other person, that their two options are agree with God and marry you or disobey God.
Yeah.
So it's not great to say that. They're going to put the pressure on you. We all have things that God has said about us and spoken life into us and sometimes even like given us a glimpse into the future. But we have to remember that if that's true, then it's on God to fulfill and not us to fulfill.
Yeah.
Like we partner with him in that. But if someone comes in and says like, God said, you're the one, like I'm going to marry them. Like there's been multiple people. We have another blog on it said, God said she's the one, five myths we believe. So you can kind of unpack that a little further if you're like, well, I struggle with that because I really did feel like God said it. I'm like, go read the blog. We don't have time to fully unpack that. I think it'll be helpful because I was in a similar situation. But there are certain people, like we've talked about this, like my wife, Michelle, she's like, I had five different guys tell me that God said we were going to get married. I was like, I'm glad they were all wrong. I got you. But that's a red flag because it's just... It doesn't allow you to develop in the relationship organically.
Yeah.
It puts a lot of pressure to make
Lots of pressure.
To obey or disobey. And it doesn't allow you to build trust organically and naturally. It really forces the relationship to go from level zero to level eight or level nine really quick. And so.
And I think it also takes away all of our free will and our relationship with God. And what it does, and I think the way that you said it was really well, is that it's spiritually manipulating the other person and putting so much high stakes on their choice to either obey God or disobey him. And that, that is not going to invite in normal, healthy pacing in a relationship and building normal, healthy trust and foundations and understanding each other. It's literally putting so much high stakes and pressure on their ability to do that. And if it doesn't work out, maybe there's a breakup, maybe something happens. That follows. In my Date Well program, I've had multiple women process that through with me of like, they said that we were going to be the one and they weren't. And now we broke up. And I am like, I am distraught because now I feel like I've somehow ruined my relationship with God and like things aren't going to get better. You don't recognize. And it might have been such a normal thing to you to be like, hey, I just want to let you know that like, you're pretty, and like also God told me that we're gonna get married in like 6 months. Okay. I mean, I know we just met, but like I hope that's
warning,
okay with you.
Warning.
I know. That puts so much pressure on the other person. And so I think everything that you just said, Abram, is like on the nose. Like if God spoke that to you, let him fulfill that with you. Let him walk you on that journey. Don't put that same level of pressure and high stakes on the other person. Mention it to them when you're engaged or married, and that could be a sweet story, but it's just like...
Let it be a punctuation of the story, not the driving factor.
Mic drop. That was good. That's all we needed.
We say like it takes three yeses. His yes, her yes, and God's yes. Mm-hmm. If there's two of the three, it's not going to be great.
Yeah. So that's the mic drop on that conversation.
Should we land this plane?
Let's land the plane. Relationships take work.
They do.
Regardless of how many green flags or yellow flags they have in them, or, you know, maybe they have hit every single green flag and you have not found one red flag yet. Relationships do take work and things will come up, and it takes two people coming together, choosing to fight for relationship and connection and trust, and things will come up along the way. These are just our opinions and our things that we have seen in overseeing the singles and dating portion of More Revolution that have really been successful for people when they've recognized these, you know, green flags or recognized the red flags. Like, hey, actually, this isn't going to work. These are just the things that we've seen along the way. So these are definitely not the entirety of red flags, and these are definitely not the entirety of green flags or yellow flags. This is just what we've seen and what we've done.
So thanks for tuning in today. If you're interested, if you love the dating conversation and you want more of it, and you're like, I'd love to know more about it, you should check out letsdaywell.com. It's a 12-week session, 12 core sessions. You've got hot topic videos, we've got calls, we've got blogs. We have all sorts of stuff that we reference, and we really help people walk through this pathway to both wholeness and to dating in the process. So if that's interesting to you, you should definitely check out letsdatewell.com.
Check it out. I'd love to see you. Thank you guys for listening. If you want to learn more and check out all of our awesome content, be sure to head to our website at moralrevolution.com and our socials, Instagram, Facebook, all of them. But before you leave, don't forget to like, review, subscribe, all of the things. We want you guys to come back and join us. We enjoyed having you. See you next time.